from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. How we doing out there? Matt Steinmetz along with Evan Giddings. Tuesday morning. Lot going on. How you doing, my man?
Good, Steiny. What's happening? I'm not feeling the energy from you right now. In our pre-show meeting, you were a bit vibrant. You were uplifted. You were upbeat. And right now, I need more of that, Steiny. What's going on behind the scenes we can't bring to the air for the people?
Well, I told you guys less chit-chat and more productivity. Listen. I
can't have you more locked in the green room than on the air.
Let me tell you something. It's about leadership. It's about leadership. And what makes a good leader? And I can tell you what doesn't make a good leader. A lot of the characteristics that I have.
Well, that was something you were also forthcoming about.
Yeah, this show will not get political. But Steve Kerr last night at the Democratic National Convention was talking about leadership and what makes a good leader. And I was thinking, whether it's Kerr or Shanahan, whether it's Gabe Kapler or Bob Melvin, you know, how we talk about our coaches and the styles that they have, I think obviously defines them. And what I'm getting at today, Evan, is so we're going to have Kyle Shanahan at 11:30. He's going to talk to the media today at 11:30, and we're going to take it live. And Steve Kerr is a guy who's won four titles. Kyle Shanahan's still looking for his first Super Bowl. And basically what I want to talk about today is what makes a great leader. What kind of leader do you want to play for? You like somebody who's mostly encouraging. You like somebody who's sometimes critical. And where do our coaches and managers fit into this? Fit into this realm, if you will. And so, you know, there's a lot. Steve Kerr talking last night, I think it's interesting just because he's still the coach of the Warriors and he puts himself in that position. Obviously, he was asked to talk because Team USA won the gold, which obviously was a big reason he was there. I don't know. I just started thinking about the things he was saying, some of his, let's say, tenets of what he believes in as a coach and how that served him. And if you like that kind of style, if you like other kinds of styles, what works for you? Like, what's the best boss you ever had? What were his characteristics? Stuff like that. So, I don't know. We're gonna read that one quote about leadership. I think it was kind of interesting, and then kind of compare what other guys do to handle their coaching responsibilities.
Well, it definitely raised my eyebrows when I saw that Steve Kerr is going to be speaking at the DNC, because like there's been examples of former athletes or coaches that have spoken at Republican or Democratic mm-hmm. conventions before. Like, something that I forgot was Steve Kerr giving the invocation, or sorry, Steve Young.
Right.
Steve yeah. Young giving the invocation at the 2000 Republican National Convention. In 2008, Joe Gibbs, former head coach of the Washington Redskins, he spoke at, I believe, McCain's Republican National Convention. You know, we've seen different entertainers there. It is kind of customary for a lot of Olympians to speak or have a presence at a lot of these because it's election years. It's coming off of World Olympics and these world athletes that are representing our country. I don't know if pick a side is the right way to put it, but they're asked to speak. And so Steve Kerr felt like that was his chance to give a voice. And, you know, sure, he was talking about political things that we don't really have to get into. But I felt like he was telling us who he was, to your point about what a leader is and what he believes is good leadership. And I find it fascinating that throughout the last, I don't know, like two seasons, really since the championship year for the Warriors, it feels like his leadership has been under a microscope, or the way that he coaches the Golden State Warriors, or the way that he treats particular players. Everything has been just so, I don't know, broken down to every detail about him. And right. it's like it's he's being evaluated every single time he makes a choice on a rotation or an out-of-bounds play or the way that he deals with someone like Steph Curry, because we as Warriors fans are very protective of him. So I thought when he was talking last night, he was, you know, describing what he wants in, you know, in the political system, whatnot. But he was also telling us, I think, who he is. And I just found it fascinating that he goes kind of down his lines or his philosophical pillars of how he believes coaching should be done. And yeah, I think it applies to every work environment, to every perhaps political office. And it just got me thinking about, you know, the way the boss manages, the way that you manage as the one chair on the show, the way that maybe Bonte does it, the way that Willard does it. And some of the best bosses that I've had, the ones that I've liked and haven't liked, because it also sort of stems off of the conversation we ended with yesterday, Steiny, with Tua Tagovailoa basically ripping a former leader of his that did not believe in him.
Right.
And we're going to listen to Kyle Shanahan in 90 minutes. He's got a particular leadership style that I think is interesting, juxtaposed with Kerr, who's very, you know, just forefront, and he will tell you exactly what he thinks and how he feels, and Shanahan doesn't really tend to do that much. You know, what's the better way to go about things? I'm not so sure, but I guess I'll throw it to you first. You know, when you think of a great leader, what do you think of?
I think of somebody, a coach or a manager that is able to instill a bigger picture into the team than just a group of individuals. It's somebody who can get 12 guys in the case of basketball, 53 in football, 25 in baseball, to begin to consider themselves secondary to what the team's goals are. And I think it's really, really hard. But I think great coaches set up a big picture for their players that they understand and they're willing to commit to, even though it might not be the best thing for their own personal situation. And if you can get a majority of the guys to talk about that, and you can get a majority of the guys to buy into that, then I think you're a good leader. But you got to figure out a way to get your guys or women to produce. And sometimes I think you do have to use different tactics. But I think Steve Kerr, now we've watched coach for 12 years or whatever it is, 10, 12 years, and I think we know exactly who he is. He's very forthcoming, not just what he did last night, but in terms of what he tells the media, what he allows fans to know about his team. And I think the other thing about Steve Kerr that I find interesting, and I wonder whether it's because he's got titles as a player and now titles as a coach and a gold medal, is that he's not afraid to say, I might have done something wrong, or I didn't handle that the right way, or I wish I would have had that to do over again. And I think, personally, I feel like too many coaches are a little bit too defensive, and they don't want to acknowledge that they had difficulty making a choice and that they may not have made the one that was best if they look back on it. And I don't have a problem with that if the coach or the manager acknowledges that. I just don't. And some people think that's a sign of weakness, but I think it's a sign of security. And I think that a lot of players respond to that. A coach, especially nowadays, a coach who's not hell-bent on proving that he's right about everything. And again, I don't know if we're talking chicken or the egg or chicken, in terms of, well, was Steve Kerr always like that? Or did he get that kind of confidence and get that honesty because he's been around now for 58 years and he's seen it all, and it just doesn't matter that much to him what people say about him or think about him?
I think he's also got the confidence of someone who's won and been around a lot of winners. And so whether he's right or wrong, I don't think he's afraid to admit fault because he knows what winning looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And not just as a head coach, as a player and in college and, under Lute Olson, like he's worked under so many different people that have won in the game of basketball that I don't really think he cares much about admitting that, yeah, I probably messed that up, or it's not too bad. Because at the end of the day, like his knowledge of self, I think, is very high. And that to me is what I partially what I define as a great leader, because it you do have to walk the line a bit. I do think there's not one great way to do something, but principled people generally make you think that there's their way or the highway.
Right.
And I think a lot of the best coaches or managers, they sway more than they let on. You know, they're willing to see the other side. And that's why if I'm thinking about what makes a great leader to me, it's someone who's demanding. It's someone who's supportive. Someone who's obviously smart or knowledgeable about their arena. Someone who's critical and someone who's introspective. And I think Steve Kerr was all five of those things last night. And I think he's been all five of those things at every turn as head coach of the Golden State Warriors. You know, the Warriors got him at a point where he was a general manager, or he was a player, or he was a broadcaster. He'd kind of checked every single box except for the one on the sidelines. And so we got to see more of a finished product, I believe. And I also think Kerr would tell you he's grown a lot over the course of his, decade plus in with the Warriors, or almost a decade, I should say. He got it in 2015. So I do think that Kerr is somebody that's not afraid to try and get better, even though he has 9 championships, even though he probably could get up at the podium every single night, and when someone like me asks a stupid question, he could bury me and let me know how stupid I am about the game of basketball and how I don't know anything, and everything that I'm considering are the wrong things to consider. He could bury every single reporter in that room if he wanted to, but he doesn't, because I think that he has a respect for, number one, the media, but he also understands that it's his job to help us understand what he's doing, and that way we can all work better together.
Let me throw this out at our listeners here, because I think a big part of being a great leader, a great coach, is believe it or not, sincerity. And so let me just throw this at you. When Steve Kerr addresses the media, anytime. Forget last night. When he talks to the media too much, because that's what NBA coaches have to do. They have to talk twice on a game day, once every day after practice. Do you believe that when we see Steve Kerr talking to the media, talking about the Warriors, that's essentially who Steve Kerr is? That's Steve Kerr. We're seeing a genuine version of him.
Yes.
What he shows to other people, what he shows to the team, what he shows to his family and friends. I do too. What about Kyle Shanahan? When Kyle Shanahan comes to the podium and talks to the media, do you think that's really who Kyle Shanahan is?
I believe it's part of who he is.
Part of who he is.
Yes.
What do you think we don't see from Shanahan at a podium that his players see all the time?
Well, I guess that's an unanswerable question because he doesn't show it to us.
Well,
but
like for example, I think Shanahan can be a little bit prickly at a press conference and a little bit sarcastic. I actually don't think he's like that as frequently when he's coaching. I really don't, because I think that's a dangerous game to play. I think he's different with the 49ers. I think they know that he knows the game. They also know that he's stubborn in certain instances. But I do think that the bottom line is that most, if not all, of those guys on that team think he knows a hell of a lot about football. And, you know, we're going to play some sound, too, from Bill Belichick today. And there's no chance that Bill Belichick is the same person that he is at the podium. There's no way. He could not be a good coach if that's really who he was. And so that's another part of it that I think is interesting, is what coaches want to conceal, what they want to share, and if when they're dealing with the public and the fans, they're the same guy as when they're coaching their team or being, I don't know, out with their buddies.
See, I would disagree with you a bit with both of those. And the reason is, I think Shanahan is prickly with his players. It just manifests itself in a different manner. Like, I don't think he tries to, I don't know, I don't think he's as sarcastic with them, but I think Shanahan's a hard ass. Like, I think Shanahan is more of an old school coach than he gets credit for, just because he's associated with all of these, you know, modern offensive tactics and, I don't know, whatever people label him. But I think Shanahan is a guy that is in your face. I think he challenges you. And I think that's how he challenges the media. He does it by being a bit defensive sometimes, by being a little bit sarcastic. I don't think he's trying to be an a-hole. I think this is who he is. And so he needs you to know that if there's a question that he does not want to answer, he's not going to answer it.
Right.
And he needs to make that apparent immediately. I think he's the same way with his players, that what he demands of them is a certain standard and a certain level. And if they can't meet that, well, then either they're going to have to find a different job or they're going to have to get better. And it's his job to help them get better. So you're right. Like, I don't think he cracks jokes at them or, you know, maybe makes them feel bad, but I think he challenges them the way that he challenges the media to be better, to ask better questions, or to know that maybe you were onto something, but I can't tell you that publicly.
Right. Yeah, I'm just curious. I mean, we've seen some great coaches and great managers here in the Bay, whether it's Bochy, whether it's Steve Kerr, whether it's Harbaugh, whether it's Shanahan. Bob Melvin has had a lot of success. And I'm just wondering what your favorite attributes and characteristics are of these coaches. Like, what makes you drawn to a certain coach? And what makes you repelled by some, quite frankly? And who do you love to hear talk? And who do you love to learn about the game from? And who do you have the most confidence in? And who do you not have confidence in? And for what reason? And that's kind of what I'd love to get into today here on 95.7, 888-957-9570. I'll tell you what's going on today, too. We got some interesting stuff happening. But I'll tell you what, I'll go out to West Oakland Sam right off the bat. He wants to talk about Steve Kerr And we'll take a listen. What's up, West Oakland?
What's up, Snyder?
Hey.
Snyder, I love you, brother.
Oh, thank
Man,
you.
Evan, I love you. I hope Guru's doing good. You guys, Steve Kerr has done everything in terms of basketball-wise, and now he finally got his Olympic ring. I don't know exactly what his father was politically, but I know he got assassinated.
Right.
And I know he was a figure. So me and my best friend were talking about it, and we were talking about him speaking at the DNC last night, and we were like, maybe a part of this is him taking an approach towards the political alley after he's done coaching, and maybe trying to finish or be like his father or finish his father's story in a sense, because he's always had that him and like he's like Greg Popovich, but a much more calmer Greg Popovich, because they both speak on political topics, but you know, Steve Kerr is more, he's more analytical. He's more, you know, he's Steve Kerr, whereas Popovich is just cutthroat. But what me and my best friend were talking about was like, I didn't look at it like he was speaking at the DNC, choosing a political party. I looked at it more of a sense of trying to finish what his father started or just doing it for that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and I really appreciate whenever Kerr, you know, presses the issue, because a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people in the comments that I saw on Instagram are like, just stick to basketball. Why does Kerr always got to do this? Or I don't like Kerr no more because he's at the DNC, and I'm like, it's bigger than that, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a good point. It's a good point. And the one thing I was wondering is, quite frankly, when you see Steve Kerr talking last night, is that a turn off? Or is it a turn on?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I get, let me...
You okay, Stein? You got to turn something off.
I don't know what's going on. I got a call. I got a call on my computer. Could you hear that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just close it.
It's closed.
I thought it was West Oakland Sam.
That was my daughter.
Oh.
From London. So.
She have a thought on Steve Kerr?
No. Okay. Not at all. Not at all. But, I mean, does that stuff last night make you like Steve Kerr more as a coach? Or, you know what, you'd prefer if he wouldn't do that? The one thing I kept thinking last night was, and I don't know if the word's gutsy, but I thought of Barkley last night. And you know how people say, the rules are a little different for Barkley. He kind of says whatever he wants, and that's Charles Barkley. I was thinking that about Steve Kerr a little bit last night. Like, man, he's more political probably than any coach or manager that I can remember.
Well, I think
and it's just part of who he is, and I'm wondering if, and here's where I'm going, is I'm looking at some of the greatest coaches of all time, and I do feel like Kerr may be among them, but he doesn't get the respect and the praise that these other coaches get. Like, if you look at the greatest coaches of our lifetime, Belichick, Phil Jackson, Andy Reid, let's say Kerr, Saban, Pat Riley, all these guys, it feels like Kerr hasn't earned his stripes like those guys have. And he's susceptible to more criticism than those guys get. And I'm just wondering why, with all the success that he's had.
I think it's because whenever you're associated with greatness, the coach typically takes a backseat to the player. Like, I find it funny that our caller brought up Popovich. And I think the story of Greg Popovich has changed a bit in the past few years after he hasn't had Tim Duncan or David Robinson or Parker, Ginobili, Kawhi. You know, after his players have moved on, Greg Popovich has not been a very good head coach. I kind of think he's still the same head coach he was when he was coaching great players. The only difference now, he doesn't have great players.
Right.
So people are beginning to criticize him more and talk about some of his shortcomings. I think the same can be said for Bill Belichick. When Tom Brady left and went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers in his first season after moving on from Bill, there was a lot of conversation about, well, was it Tom that stirred the drink? Was it Belichick?
Right.
And oftentimes it's somewhere in between. But I do think now that Bill Belichick is out of coaching, or for however long he is, you know, people are wondering, all right, well, Is he really the greatest head coach of all time? Like, we saw what he did with Mac Jones. You know, there's a reason why the Patriots wanted to move on from him. It was about that time. I think he's one of, if not the greatest head coaches ever in the National Football League. But you need talent around you. And I think since Kerr has come in as head coach and only, up until recently, had talent around him, there's nothing to really judge him on outside of when he's had Hall of Famers. And outside of 2022, the last couple of years have not been great for him. And I think a lot of people have looked at those and are acting a bit more recently with their bias towards him.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, 888-957-9570. And I just jotted down some coaches that we've seen in the Bay Area in the last 10 years. And two guys, like Jim Harbaugh, let me just throw this out there. Jim Harbaugh coached the Niners for 5 years. Jim Harbaugh and Kyle Shanahan. Who's a better coach? Which one do you prefer? Why did you like one over the other? Do you think they're both great coaches? We all know Harbaugh was different.
He
what,
is.
What was it about Harbaugh that you either liked or didn't like? Ditto for Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson. Look, I know Mark Jackson takes some heat around here, and I wasn't crazy about him. And a lot of the reason is because of what I'm talking about today. You know, do you prefer a Steve Kerr to a Mark Jackson? Why have we gravitated toward Kerr and maybe not? We never did. We never. Why didn't we feel a connection to Mark Jackson? And then, you know, just Bruce Bochy. He's a legend around here. Why? Well, what was it about Bochy that everybody loved? Outside three World Series, which maybe is the only way you get universally loved. But we're gonna listen to Kyle Shanahan in about an hour, and you know, just thinking about him and the other coaches in the Bay Area. What do we want out of our coaches, and maybe more importantly, what do we want out of our leaders? Because to me, it's hard to compare sports with real life. But I think you can if you're just talking about a coach compared with a boss. How do you want to be led if you were a player? I want to get into coaches today. 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment also brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I've been watching a show called Below Zero. It's about life in the bush.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
It's a great show.
Oh, God.
It's great.
How have you not finished it yet?
Because there's about 9 seasons.
Why? How many different ways can you talk about life below zero?
Infinite. It's a constant challenge. It's a constant challenge up around the Arctic Circle. That's all. Hey, here's what's going on today. By the way, coming up in a half hour, it's so fitting today because we're going to be talking about leadership, coaching, and what aspects of a coach you like and what aspects you don't like. And at 11 o'clock, we're going to have the son of one of the greatest coaches and leaders of all time, and that's Alvin Attles Jr. Alvin Attles Jr. is the son of Al Attles Sr., who's been a Warriors ambassador for a long time. He's been with the Warriors organization for almost 65 years as a player, as a coach, as a GM, as a front office person. And Alvin Jr. is going to share some info about what's going on with his father and a project they're working on. Al's 87 right now, and he's a titan. He's a titan in the Bay Area in terms of class, charisma, personality, and achievement. And we're going to talk to his son about a documentary they're trying to put together about his dad. We're going to talk about that at 11 o'clock. Then at 11:30, we're going to go down to Santa Clara and listen to Kyle Shanahan, who's going to talk to the media. And that's where we're going to get started today, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. But let me play the one part last night that Steve Kerr talked about, and it's not political. So
I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought it was great. It also it lets us in on something, because I think this is going to be something that I want to jump on after you hear this. He's talking about Tim Walz, who's the vice presidential candidate, and he was a high school coach back in the day. And here's what Steve Kerr had to say. Pretty funny.
I have to say, Coach Walz, way too much reliance on the blitz in 99 against Mankato East. You had a strong defensive line. I would have played more press coverage with your corners and then dropped the safeties into a Tampa 2. That's just me. Sorry. I wanted you to know how I feel every day of the NBA season. All right.
So to me, that's a great line because, one, it tells you Steve Kerr, like Steph Curry, hears everything. He hears everything. And I was just thinking about this. I'll just throw this one out there.
Also, don't forget every single time he coaches the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
Summer was full of that also.
Exactly.
I know everything.
Exactly. So I think that's another huge part, for me anyway, of what I'll like in a certain coach and what I won't like. You know, we always talk about how players handle criticism. It might be just as important how coaches handle criticism. And I think Steve Kerr is one of the few coaches out there that handles criticism every once in a while by saying, no, I have every right to be criticized. I might not have made the right answer. And I think that's admirable.
Yeah, it took a shot at Warriors fans what he did.
What do you mean?
It means he's been listening to you guys the last 2 years talk about how he doesn't know what he's doing. And every single time Mankato East lined up against their opponent and they were in a 3-4 instead of a 4-3, and you know the corners were back a little bit too long, and that curl route was open 8 yards, and it just allowed Mankato East to continuously move the chains. There were fans and parents up in the stands saying, Tim Walz, what the hell are you doing? Can we please put somebody on number 8? Johnny's got to get his hand in the dirt. Like, no, but seriously, that is what coaches have to deal with at every single level at all times. Because it's during the first segment, we were talking about, okay, what makes a great leader? Well, to be honest, what makes a great coach is winning.
Like, no doubt.
There has never been a great coach at a professional level that did not win. All time. Nobody comes to mind with a sub-500 record and you say, you know what? That's the guy. You know what? Jeff Fisher, he was a great NFL head coach whose record was 7-9 or 8-8, 15 of 20 years in the NFL. No one has ever thought that. And so winning does play a part of it. And when you don't win, you have to be able to be open to criticism,
right?
Because clearly your way is not working consistently enough to do what you're hired to do. And I think Kerr is just admitting that. I was being facetious. He wasn't taking a shot at Warriors fans, I think. But I also think he was basically saying, like, yeah, I get it, you know?
My question to Bay Area fans is, like, who's your favorite all-time coach or manager in the Bay Area? Maybe even Bay Area history if you want to go back that far. I'll tell you the guy that I loved as a head coach.
Right.
You were all right, Boach. I love George Seifert. I love George Seifert as a coach.
How come?
Because he was ridiculously humble. He was never the center of attention. He obviously had a great football mind. I love coaches who don't feel the need to take credit. I never felt like he took credit, and he could have. And I just love the way that there's certain guys I love to hear talk. Coaches, managers, GMs, etc. And Seifert, to me, was one because he was just so understated, but he was matter of fact, and he was a coach, to me, who clearly had the respect of the players without having to be a football rah-rah guy. I thought he was the typical head coach who was more of a teacher than a coach. I just liked his style. I love George Seifert's style, which was to stay in the background even though he was coaching the best team in football at the time.
I think for me, Steve Kerr is probably number one on my list of pro coaches. But the coach in the Bay Area who I actually enjoy the most, it's Randy Bennett. St. Mary's men's basketball.
Okay, why?
Because he has enough. He's never won an NCAA championship. And he's still been around for such a long period of time that his programs have had to change. He's had to evolve based on the way that the game is played in college. He always finds players that are never five stars, that aren't the most talented, and continues to win. But he doesn't do it in a way that is arrogant. He doesn't do it in a way that is, you know, that makes him out to be an a-hole. I've watched that program over the course of my life. And he's been the same guy the entire time.
Mm.
And that is the thing that I respect the most about
consistency.
Consistency is what I believe that a great leader is.
Okay.
Consistent about being critical, consistent about telling you what their expectations are, and consistent about having a little bit of wiggle room. Because I think you need that to be a great coach and a great leader.
Let's go out to Sam. Sam's in Sunnyvale, wants to talk about Steve Kerr and the kind of leader he is. What's going on, Sam? How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, thanks. First of all, I love the show.
The discussion is
at really high intellectual level, and it makes it a pleasure.
Oh, thanks.
So about Steve Kerr, at least on one position, I think he's an incredible hypocrite. He is constantly speaking out about violence. Yet Steve Kerr was maybe the biggest violence enabler in basketball.
Yeah.
Draymond went ahead and tried to seriously harm Jordan Poole. And what is Steve Kerr mad about? That the news leaked out. Okay, so that's just plain hypocritical.
All right.
He stands to benefit from being quiet about violence or coddling violence, then, that's what he does. And I have very little respect for that. The second thing, and it's more general, is sports should be unifying. It's one of the great things about sports. Everyone can go ahead and enjoy it. Someone who's left wing, someone who's right wing, someone who's gay, someone who's straight. It's a unifying, wonderful, unifying thing. And when coaches and other professional athletes get involved in politics, it's not unifying. It alienates people. If you want to go ahead and talk about politics after you're retired, great, go ahead. But while you're professionally involved, it's a turnoff. You're just exploiting your position your opportunity to go ahead and make a point. But it turns off fans, and it takes away that wonderful experience of all being united behind something.
Sam, who's your favorite coach in Bay Area history? Coach, GM, manager, what's your style?
Yeah, Bo Mel.
How come?
Because I think Bo Mel, first of all, it's clear that he's a great guy, just as a person, right? I think that he has a really good relationship with the players, and that's very important. He knows when to be tough, but that's not his going in position. And if you talk, you know, if you listen to what players say about him, they loved playing with him. Now, you can argue about how he's doing this year, and that's legitimate. But I don't know. I mean, you can't be a coach who performs terribly and be my favorite.
Sure.
But to my mind, sort of character is a really big deal in how players feel about the coach. And, you know, if players feel that the coach is a great guy and is doing the right thing, they're gonna try to play hard. They're going to try and perform for that guy.
Appreciate the call, Sam. Character. Character's something that Sam's talking about here. This is the 707 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. Kerr's going to lose some fans after last night, that's for sure. What does that matter?
Or is that important? I don't think he really cares. That's probably why I did it.
And Sam was probably saying that's he did something last night that he doesn't even realize that turns off a lot of players.
Well, I think
it turns off a lot of fans.
The violence comparison to me is a step too far. But I do think it's fair to ask the question of, you know, like why does he get to do that? I mean, other players that or coaches that speak up that are asked to typically would not. You know, that isn't what Kerr did last night is not very Belichickian
right.
of him. Bill Belichick is very open now, and he's honest, and I think a lot of people love hearing from him. Anytime he's not wearing the hoodie, Bill Belichick is an open book. But when he's on the headset and when it's game time for the Patriots, you're not getting anything from him that he doesn't want to get out there.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about, the difference in styles, because I think that Kerr is a good leader. I think he is a good head coach. But he's very different from a Bill Belichick or from a Bruce Bochy or from even perhaps a Bob Melvin. You know, I really like Bob Melvin. I think Bob Melvin has gotten a bit of a bad rap over the course of his career because he hasn't ever been to a World Series and he hasn't achieved the heights that someone like Bruce Bochy has. But when I tell you that Bob Manager has been named the best manager in baseball three different times for three separate franchises, when I tell you he's got 1,500 wins, which is a better mark and a better winning percentage than the greats of, you know, Felipe Alou or Dusty Baker or other great managers that have managed here in the Bay Area, then you start to look at him a little bit differently. He's won more games in Oakland than Tony La Russa had, who coached and managed some of the greatest teams in Oakland A's history. So, you know, it's not necessarily to me about stacking up the W's and the L's. It really is about what you identify with and what you believe makes a great leader. And sure, Steve Kerr is, and I think he'd even say it, like in regards to Draymond Green, he has been a bit inconsistent.
Yeah.
Compared to, I think, what he believes. But he also is very open about how he's not perfect.
Right.
And he's not ashamed to admit, and he doesn't believe that great leaders should be afraid to admit that they don't have all the answers. And that's something that I respect about him.
About Jim Harbaugh. Where does Jim Harbaugh fit on your ledger in terms of his leadership style? Like, I'll be honest with you. There's Harbaugh's the kind of guy that there's a lot I like about him, and then there's some stuff I don't like about him. But the one thing that I find with Harbaugh is he's fascinating for me to listen to. Like, I believe Jim Harbaugh is exactly who he is when he's at the podium and when he's coaching his teams. Like, he's weird. Like, he's a weird dude.
For me, it's back to work.
Cue it up.
And attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Now, what, like, what
doesn't
is that?
Make you run through a freaking wall?
You think that's sincere?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
That is who Jim Harbaugh is.
Give me one more Harbaugh.
Come on.
Give me Harbaugh.
For me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
He's been saying that since he was at Stanford, probably since he was at San Diego.
That's my point.
That's who he is.
Does it work for you?
So, and this is where I'm not going to lie. I'm a little hypocritical, Steiny.
Oh.
You do know this about me. When he was the head coach of the 49ers.
Sure.
I had some issues with him.
Oh, like what?
He was an a-hole. I mean, the way that he talked to people is just disrespectful, to be honest. But now he's the head coach of a team that I hold dear to my heart.
Yeah, you love him, huh?
I can't get enough of him. I watched his hour and a half opening press conference, and I was suckling at the teeth. Oh, my goodness. Jim Harbaugh is my coach. You know, but that's the kind of emotion that he evokes. And that's something that I do respect, whether he's being rude to people or not, because his job is not to be your friend. His job is to win football games. And his methods are a little bit different than most. And he's not Steve Kerr. He's not even Kyle Shanahan. He's not even Bill Belichick. He's Jim Harbaugh. And that's something that I do respect about him, is that, again, he's consistent. I do think that Harbaugh is that.
Well, to me, the one thing where Harbaugh loses some stuff with me, big deal, right? He's Jim Harbaugh, Matt Stein, Metz. What's
well,
it matter?
Well, you conquered three mediums.
Four. But here's what you know what I didn't like about Harbaugh is kind of what he turned Colin Kaepernick into. And I realize that he gave Kaepernick his break and then Kaepernick thrived. But the one thing I think people forget, remember the period of time when Colin Kaepernick, it was before the kneeling, when he was just the rudest dude to deal with the media. And I think that came right from Jim Harbaugh. And I don't think Colin Kaepernick did himself any favors when he talked to the media during that period of time. Again, this is before he knelt or anything like that happened. He was just abrasive. And it felt like Kaepernick changed under Jim Harbaugh and became more like Jim Harbaugh, and that meant he became a little less likable. Like, I don't like the way he influenced Kaepernick as a person.
So you can say that, but I'll throw this at you.
Mm-hmm.
What if he also empowered Colin Kaepernick to the point that allowed him to do what he did and stand on what he believed in? I don't know if he would have been able to do that without Jim Harbaugh, without someone telling you that you are right and that the way that you go about your life and your business and your work should be who you are. And Colin Kaepernick took that the next step. He took it to a completely different realm. And I think he, in doing so, allowed us to have a very important conversation. I'm not giving Harbaugh credit for that. That is all Colin Kaepernick, because Harbaugh had nothing to lose in that situation. But my point is that kind of influence that you can always take something from people. You can take something from great coaches, from bad coaches. And my point is simply that if Colin Kaepernick took that from Jim Harbaugh, then him being an a-hole was worth it.
Yeah, I never paint anybody with a brush of extremes. Like, Jim Harbaugh is a great coach. There's no doubt about it. Doesn't mean I love his style. I mean, Bobby Knight was a great coach. I didn't like his style. John Wooden was a great coach. I liked his style. And that's kind of what we're getting into today. Let's go to...
Well, he stole Norm's line.
He didn't.
Yes, he did.
Pete in San Ramon. What's up, Pete? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Love your show today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to go back just a little bit to Shut Up and Dribble, if I may.
All right.
Okay, so all day long on all kind of news and media outlets, we're bombarded with Joe the plumber saying who he does or doesn't like in politics, or Nancy that runs a daycare center, or some fireman out of a tiny little town. And to say shut up and dribble, that's like telling Beyonce shut up and sing. It's just stupid to think that somebody should lose or win over fans
because of their political opinions. It's just nonsense.
Thanks, Pete.
Appreciate it, Pete.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I think it's because Kerr brought that up. He sort of invoked that a bit last night. But
well, the other thing, too,
I didn't think about it much, to be honest.
I mean, to me, I mean, can't we be honest and say, you know, Steve Kerr happens to be the head coach of the Warriors, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is probably the most liberal city in the country. And I don't know. Would he do this in Memphis?
Well, I also don't know if...
Houston?
Well, this isn't the first time that Kerr has done something like this, by
True.
The way. I mean, it's not as if he hasn't been outspoken about his beliefs in the past. He's been obviously incredibly vocal on gun violence and other political areas that he used to tweet about, and he doesn't really do that much anymore. Not sure why. Maybe he just didn't like the backlash. Maybe he felt like he wasn't getting his message across. It's not for me to guess. But that's who he is. Whether he's been in Golden State, whether he's been the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, whether he's been a broadcaster, this is who he is. I mean, and he's sharing that with us. And whether I agree with what he said last night or not does not change the fact that I respect people that are unabashedly themselves. It's one of the reasons why I think people like this show, because they feel like every time they listen to Steiny and Guru, they're hearing who you guys are. And I can't speak for you, but I get the feeling that Guru is very much himself, you know?
Oh, no!
Yeah. If you're listening out in Greensboro, Goo, and he'll text me right now, and I will text him, because I know exactly what I'm going to get from him, and it's Guru.
Yeah. That's true. You're going to get Goo.
When are you going to get a heart?
Hey, don't get me started on Antonio Pierce.
Don't get Spadoni started on Antonio Pierce.
Spadoni, you like Pierce?
He's made his first major mistake in the Spadoni household.
Before week one?
Oh, boy. Well, hold on, everybody.
Oh, God.
We'll tease that on the other side.
Now, we got a big boy coming up.
Yeah, we do. We have Alvin Attles Jr. coming up. His dad, of course, Alvin Attles Sr., a legend in the Bay Area. He's going to tell us what's going on with his father, a project they're working on. We got Kyle Shanahan coming up at 11:30. So we'll listen to that kind of coach at the podium. Do we like that? Do we not like that? 888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to jump in here, you're more than welcome. That segment brought to you by Robert Half.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.